Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we meet the U.S. Naval Forces Europe Africa Deputy Chief of Staff for Strategy, Resources, and Plans, and we learn about Minnesota's Veterans Cemetery Project. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The Minnesota Military Family Foundation is a community-supported fund founded in November of 2004. The organization provides grants to military families who are in a financial crisis. They understand there are many sacrifices that military families make during deployments and want to help soften the extraordinary financial hardships by providing a financial safety net. One of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation's biggest fundraisers of the year is just around the corner, the third annual Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic. This week, nearly 50 golf teams and more than 35 volunteers will be coming together to raise money. Tom Lyons is not only this radio show's superb and talented host, but he is also the project manager of the Golf Classic. Last year, thanks to his efforts, more than $130,000 was raised for military family grants. That was nearly half of what the Military Family Foundation gave to military families in need last year. $300,000 and 150 grants were given out thanks to the Military Family Foundation last year. Thank you, Tom, for your efforts with the foundation and its success as an amazing fundraiser year after year. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good businesses get better by hiring today's veteran.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Rear Admiral Kenneth Norton, U.S. Naval Forces Europe Africa Deputy Chief of Staff for Strategy, Resources, and Plans. Admiral Norton, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
Admiral, I know you're in town for an official visit, but we want to talk to a little bit about your background first. You were born in Minnesota. You're a Minnesota boy.
I was. I was born back in 1958 in St. Paul. I lived in St. Paul for a couple of years and then moved on out to White Bear. So that's where I went through high school. And then from there on to college, I went down to Marshall, Minnesota. I went to Southwest Minnesota State University.
And Admiral, how'd you get interested in going into the Navy?
Well, it was interesting. Kind of a quick story. Back in the late 70s, I was thinking about becoming a pilot. And so I went downtown here, Minneapolis, to the federal building, and I walked into an Air Force recruiting office. And this was in August of 1978, I believe. And it was late in the fiscal year, so they weren't interested in hiring pilots, and they wanted me maybe to enter their Bombardier Navigator program. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. So I'm walking out of the recruiting office, and I look to my right, and there was a poster of the Blue Angels on the Navy recruiting office right next door. So I walked in there and said, hey, I want to be a pilot. And they said, well, we have some tests you have to take. So I sat down, took the tests. They said, you can be a Navy pilot if you want to. So that's how I ended up getting in the Navy program.
And Admiral, did you become a pilot? I don't think
I did indeed.
You did?
Yeah, eventually in 1981, I went down left after I graduated from Marshall, and I went down to Pensacola. Got into flight training down there. About a year later, got my wings in helicopters and flew helicopters for the next 20 years.
Helicopters. Never made it to the Blue Angels, though.
No, I did not. But I was flying off aircraft carriers the entire time, so that's kind of my background has always been in aircraft carriers in the United States Navy.
Admiral, I noticed from your bio that you started off on the USS Kitty Hawk. My son was actually in the Navy, and he was aboard that aircraft carrier.
Kitty Hawk was a great ship. My first deployment was in 1984. We went to the Western Pacific and then into the Indian Ocean. And I remember at the time I was flying the H3, the Sea King, the venerable Sea King, and enjoying that and kind of my first deployment. So you always kind of remember that one. It's kind of a culture shock for the first deployment. But after that, they all seem kind of run together.
And, Admiral, as I look at your biography, it's kind of the who's who of aircraft carriers. You've served on quite a few of them.
I have. After the Kitty Hawk, I did two deployments on the Kitty Hawk. Had a chance to be on the USS Nimitz, the USS Abraham Lincoln, the USS Constellation. Eventually got to the USS Carl Vinson, and I finished up. My last aircraft carrier was USS Ronald Reagan.
Couldn't have missed too many of the active carriers, Admiral.
No, that was it's a great legacy of ships, the Nimitz class and also the old Kitty Hawk class.
We're speaking with Rear Admiral Kenneth Norton on Minnesota Military Radio. Admiral, I wonder, when you walked into that recruiting office those many years ago, did you ever think you were going to become a flag officer?
No, I'll tell you a little secret. I decided I wanted to be a pilot because there was a friend. We lived up in White Bear Lake, and there's a lake up there called Bald Eagle. And on the lake, there was a friend of the family's. He flew for Northwest Airlines, and I went to school with his daughter, Tammy. But he was had been a pilot in the Korean War, and then he started flying for Northwest Airlines. I know now that's been folded into Delta, but he was living on the lake up there, you know, sailboats, ski boats, bringing his family, skiing in the winters in Vail, Colorado, the whole bit. And I thought, I want his job. So I selfishly decided to join the military, get my wings. I was going to do the minimum amount of time, get out, and get a job with the airlines. Well, here I am 31 years later, and I still haven't gotten out of the service.
Something changed along the way, Admiral.
I realized it was a little bit more important what I was doing, so it was wonderful.
Admiral, we got a couple of minutes before we have to take a break. I wonder, what would you say to the young people today thinking about a career in the United States Navy?
Well, whether it's the Navy or any of the other services, it's a great opportunity. You can certainly work on finishing your education. It makes college affordable. I believe the key to success in life is to have a mindset that you embrace education. And whether you're coming out of high school or you have a few years of college or even if you have a college degree, there's probably room in any of our services right now for people who are motivated and want to serve their country.
Admiral, one of the things that I've noticed in the last couple of years on the show is that the quality of our servicemen and women today, as opposed to 40 years ago when we had the draft in place, is substantially different. You've got the highest quality military in the world, don't you?
Absolutely. And I saw it down at the deck plates, literally, when I had command of the USS Ronald Reagan. The average age working on the flight deck was about 18, 19 years old. The average age on the ship was about 22 years old. Young men and women who are working long hours of the day, but doing it because they have a sense of fulfillment, a sense of purpose, and I'll tell you, it's just eye-watering to watch these young men and women day in and day out serving their country with pride.
And Admiral, some of our listeners may not know, but when you're out on deployment on one of those aircraft carriers and you're over in the Persian Gulf or wherever you might be, those are our long days, aren't they?
They are long days. Usually the temperature is much like today's temperature in the triple digits, and it can be really hot out there on the flight deck, certainly with all the jet exhaust, with the steam and the catapults, etc. But they're out there, and they're doing it with a smile on their face.
I wish the listeners could see you smile when you talk that way, seriously.
I have so much pride.
A proud commanding officer.
Yes, I was.
Admiral, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about your current post as Chief of Staff for Strategy, Resources, and Plans for U.S. Naval Forces in Europe and Africa.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll be back with Rear Admiral Kenneth Norton in just a moment. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I've been joined today by Rear Admiral Kenneth Norton, United States Naval Forces Europe, Africa, Deputy Chief of Staff for Strategy, Resources, and Plans. Admiral, for those listeners that just joined us, you actually started here in Minnesota, didn't you?
I did indeed.
White Bear Lake, and enlisted, were commissioned in July 1981, served on almost every aircraft carrier I can think of.
Most of them were all from the West Coast. I've been a West Coast sailor, yeah.
Admiral, you're in town for a few days for an official visit. What was the purpose of your visit?
Well, one of the things we're trying to do is get out and talk to our folks in our home states about what exactly the Navy brings, what we're doing out there. you know, we're forward deployed right now. We're sort of the away team, if you want to call it that. We're out there. We're forward deployed. We're out doing nation's business, trying to keep the sea lines of communication open. What that means is we're trying to make sure the seas are safe to sail. A lot of people don't understand this, but or don't recognize this, but 70% of the world is ocean. And of that, 80% of us live within about 200 miles. Now, I know within the St. Paul, Minneapolis community, we don't live within 200 miles of a coastline when it comes to our oceans, but we understand the Mississippi River. We understand the Lake Superior and the Great Lake Waterway. So we do actually have some linkages to those sea lines of communication. But then again, 90% of all stuff, when I mean stuff, I'm talking about world trade by volume. That also comes across to our oceans. And so it's important to keep those lanes and keep that commerce moving. And so that's why it's so important that we are naval forces, whether they're forward deployed to Japan, forward deployed to Spain, and ships throughout the world.
Admiral, when I think of Africa, I think of Somalia and the piracy, and that's starting to come under a bit under control, isn't it?
It is indeed. When you looked at that problem from two, even 3 years ago, it was almost a lawless sea out there, and pirates were just going out and easily taking down motor vessels out there, holding the cargo at ransom, holding the crew on board the ships at ransom. Today we see the coalition forces that are out there from the European Union, from NATO, from the task force that is around Central Command in the Persian Gulf, as well as independent nations like China and like Russia. Places like Persia and Iran, they're all coming together to counter this piracy off the coast of Somalia, off the Horn of Africa, into the Gulf of Aden. That's how important it is for all our world economy is to get control of this problem off Somalia today.
Admiral, I've noticed in the news recently that the Pentagon's announced that there's not only going to be just one aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf, but two now. How much pressure does that put on the Navy?
Well, We're one of those, we bend, we don't break. It's when you think about it from a standpoint of hardware, the ships can certainly handle it. We work around the maintenance cycles of the ship to make sure that they're ready to go once they get back to their home ports. But the deployments itself, it can be a little bit harder on the families and the sailors themselves. Generally, in the past, at least during my career, my experience showed that we were doing roughly about 6-month-long deployments. Well, today, because of the requirements for us to help out in the maritime security domains out there in the world, and our aircraft carriers are down to 11, we see that the carrier deployments are creeping up to 7, sometimes even 8 months long.
We're speaking with Rear Admiral Kenneth Norton on Minnesota Military Radio. And Admiral, I'm curious, as you say, a lot of people live very close to oceans, but in Minnesota, we're about as far away as we can be. Can you tell me, with the Navy's maritime strategy, how does that impact Minneapolis and what kind of job opportunities are available in the Navy?
Well, when you think about it, Minneapolis and St. Paul is a huge area when it comes to places like General Mills, Target, the grain, et cetera. Many of that is traveling over the ocean waterways to get to other countries and foreign sales. A lot of our sailors are from Minnesota. When I was on board the carriers, it's amazing to me. I would put out a call to all the Minnesota sailors to come up on the flight deck for a photo and that type of stuff. We'd send that photo back to the governor, whoever it was at the time. And there's a lot of sailors in the United States Navy right now. Once they finish up their tour, whether it's after initial enlistment or initial obligated service, they want to come back to Minnesota. And hopefully that there's a job waiting for them back here.
10,000 lakes, Admiral, they know how to swim and they want to get something bigger than a fishing boat, don't they?
They do indeed.
Admiral, I'm curious, we're a purple show. We've had people on from the Guard and the Reserves. We've had the Navy Reserve on. There's an issue today when our soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines come home. They're looking for jobs, and the economy's been bad. How's that impacted? How have you seen that, and how can we help veterans?
Right now, to be honest with you, because the economy is where it's at right now, and it looks like it's getting better, but a lot of our sailors want to reenlist, and they want to stay employed in the service until kind of the economy gets a little bit stronger. But I will say this also, when you're thinking about hiring a vet, think about a guy that has, you know, first and foremost, he's been reliable. He knew how to get to work. He knew how to get there on time. He knew how to work hard. He knew how to take direction. He knew how to give direction, whether it was in management or leadership. And then he worked hard and oftentimes worked longer than what the day demanded. In other words, you know, an 8-hour day to him meant very, very little, especially when you're deployed. We used to tease each other that we only work in half days because half a day is 12 hours long. And so when you're thinking about employing somebody, think about someone that is reliable, has lots of education that they've gotten through their service experience, and is going to be showing up on time. He's going to be showing up ready to work with a positive attitude.
Admiral, pretty easy to show up and work when you're not in a war zone and working 12 on, 12 off, and under the gun.
Yes, sir. They all want to contribute.
Admiral, we just got about a minute left. I wonder, do you have any update or any information for us on the USS Minnesota?
Well, a good friend of mine that I work with overseas in Naples, Italy, is actually from Edina also. His name is Admiral Fritz Rogge. He's a submariner, and he just told me that the USS Minnesota is on track, it's on budget, and it's due to be commissioned on time. And I believe the former Chief of Naval Operation, Admiral Ruffid, and his lovely wife, Ellen, will be at the commissioning ceremony, and we'll be able to christen the ship with breaking the bottle of champagne over the bow.
And I believe that's coming up late October this year, and we hope to be there.
Well, I'm going to try and get back to it, too.
I'll look forward to seeing you out there, Admiral.
Yes, sir.
We've just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for your fellow Minnesotans and our listeners at Minnesota Military Radio, sir?
Well, thank you for your support. Whether it's the Yellow Ribbon Program or if it's supporting our Minnesota National Guard men and women that have come back from deployment, I thank you so much for supporting them, supporting their mission, and supporting their families when they're deployed. So thank you very much.
Admiral, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
That was Rear Admiral Kenneth Norton, United States Naval Forces Europe, Africa, Deputy Chief of Staff for Strategy, Resources, and Plans on Minnesota Military Radio. Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota's veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week, we'll feature one veteran's story and ask you to help hire Minnesota's heroes. This week's veteran is Air Force Airman First Class Jesse Dale. Jesse, please tell us about yourself and what type of position you're looking for.
Hi, sure. Well, I am a U.S. Air Force veteran with a variety of law enforcement experience. I'm seeking to move into the position of a probation officer, as this area of the justice field interests me immensely. To achieve this goal, I am willing to relocate and excited about the prospect of attaining a career within the justice field as a probation officer. Since my honorable military discharge due to a duty-related knee injury in August of 2008, I attended Capella University full-time and recently graduated from Capella with a B.S. in public safety. I am proud of my service and look forward to continuing onward, leveraging my military experience, security clearance, and education as a civilian. And I'd just like to thank Jeff Dexter and the Minnesota Military Radio for recognizing me as the vet of the week.
Jesse, I hope you find good employment very soon.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Jesse and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on the next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Jesse, contact the Bloomington Workforce Center at 612-821-4009. That's 612-821-4009. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. When we return to Minnesota Military Radio, we'll meet Charles Kapsner of the Minnesotans Veterans Cemetery Project. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a few minutes, we're going to learn about Minnesota's Veterans Cemetery Project. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
This Wednesday, members of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, elected officials, stakeholders, residents, and families will gather at our Minneapolis Veterans Home Campus to celebrate the grand opening of two new buildings. A ribbon-cutting ceremony and grand opening will take place for Building 19, which is a new 100-bed skilled nursing facility, and Building 4, the Adult Day Center. The grand opening of these buildings come at a very special time, as 2012 marks 125 years of serving those who served at our Minneapolis home.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalado. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Looking to the past, present, and future of Veterans Educational Historic Project, we're going to learn now about the Veterans Art Project with our artist, Charles Kapsner. Charles, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
How long have you been an artist to start with, and where were you trained?
Well, it's something I've done all my life. I guess it's been a natural, inborn, you know, thing I've needed to do. And as a youngster, when I'd come home from school, I would just sit in my room and draw all the time. And I guess when it came time to throw your crayons away, I bought oil paints and, you know, kept on going and been doing it ever since. And had various opportunities here in the States early on for education, but primarily I was educated in Florence, Italy when I first left in 1973, and I studied over there until 1981.
And so did you pick up a specific style in Italy?
I guess to a certain degree. I mean, a representational art would best describe what I do, a realism for a lack of better terms. And so the type of drawing that I was working on in the studio of Narina Simi, we would draw all morning from 9 to noon, Monday through Saturday, working with the figure. And then in the afternoons, 2:30 to 5:30, 4 afternoons a week, we'd do portraits. And then we had sketch sessions in the evening. So it was a very intense type of learning how to observe nature. So in some regards, nature is my teacher. Madame Simi was my guide.
And so you've been working on this type of art for a couple of decades.
Yes, more than a couple.
And Charles, how did you get involved in the Veterans Arts Projects?
Interestingly enough, I had a little show in Little Falls at the Great River Arts Association in the fall of 2008, and I was approached by an elderly gentleman, Mr. Gordon Gerling, who's a World War II veteran and former state representative, and was part of this little cemetery that opened just north of Little Falls in June of 1994, and actually it's not a little cemetery, but he had this great idea of doing a monument that would honor veterans and not necessarily wars, but also pay tribute to the men and women as they have served and are actively serving in the military and telling their stories and trying to bring the emotional side of their stories to the general public. And so by doing this as a series of paintings rather than sculpture architecturally, there's more of a human element in it. And so a very big dream for him. And we sort of disbanded then as a group in 2008, and then kind of got back together the following year, and we signed a contract in 2009. Then I began working on the initial 5 compositional drawings that fall.
And this project is specifically for the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery in Little Falls.
That's correct.
And can you give us a description of the project? How long is it going to take you, and what is it you're going to do?
Okay, well, the project entails 5 8x10-foot oil paintings, each one depicting one branch of the military. And with each one, I'll tell a little different storyline, so I will try to pull in as much of American history in addition to the military history of each branch as possible, and trying to bring the viewer in to understand some of the daily activity or just some of the emotional sides of what it takes to be in the military and the service that they do provide for us. And so initially, my design started from studying from old photos, sketches, and paintings, because the military has always been very great at recording themselves historically. And then when it came time to work on each one, I would start working with live models. So like with the Army, I was at Fort Snelling working with the reenactors. I've been working with the gentleman out at the Military Museum at Camp Ripley. So either working, like I say, in at the fort or in my studio doing the drawings. And so as a result, the compositions change. They become much more meaningful, and I think there's a bigger impact doing them that way.
Had your artwork included any studies of the military over your career, or was this a new angle?
Not really. I mean, I've been involved in a lot of large-scale fresco projects, which is painting into fresh plaster with water-based pigments, and so we would do either religious themes, mythological, or secular themes, but nothing really military in nature. I guess my closest tie would have been the gentleman I studied fresco painting with, Mr. Ben Long, was a former Marine Corps captain and combat artist in Vietnam, so that would have been it.
We're speaking with Charles Kapsner, the artist on our Veterans Art Project on Minnesota Military Radio. Charles, since you hadn't had much experience with the military, I see in my research materials, you really did have to do some research and dig into some historical things and just to figure out what you were going to paint. And how much time have you spent on that?
That's kind of ongoing. And so, like, when I began the first compositional drawings in the fall of 09, it was I bought myself a new library of books and just did a lot of reading and putting things together. And then as I get into each branch, then it's a matter of just talking to more individuals. Where, like, currently I'm working with the Navy composition because the Army painting is now hanging in the building. So I've been working with Gail Munro, who is the head curator for the Navy Art Collection and historian out at the Naval Art Navy Museum in at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. So I'm going to the source for all my information and, again, continued reading. And that's about the best way to go about it. And knowing that I can only put in so much, because when you're looking at 236 years of history, it's pretty tough to put in everything known to man. So the hardest part, I think, about this is being selective and trying to be true to the story and hopefully not leaving someone feel left out.
I would guess you had to do a little research to get the uniforms correct and look at some of the equipment and figure out what you're going to include in each of these paintings?
Absolutely, and that's where, again, working at Fort Snelling, the reenactors have very accurate uniforms going back to the Revolutionary War through even today. But then when it came from World War I to the present time, I relied on what I was given at the Military Museum at camp, where a friend of mine had a very extensive collection of World War I and World War II uniforms. So I was able to bring everything into my studio.
Well, Charles, I'm sure at the same time that you're planning these paintings and starting to work on them, doing your research, you must have sat down with someone to figure out how you were going to incorporate these paintings into the cemetery?
Actually, what was interesting is the committal hall itself, because it was part of a federal grant, there was no percent for the arts. So the building itself was sort of screaming for something to actually be put in there. So it was a very fortuitous thing that I was approached by this elderly gentleman, and David Swantek, who's the cemetery director up there, was very enthused about the idea. And of course, we had to get its clearance from the then Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. But it was just, the building was needing something, and it just, everything kind of fell in place at the right time. And it's just, you know, what can I say? Just sheer luck.
Plenty of blank wall space.
That's correct.
So how long is it going to take to complete these, and when do you think we'll be able to see them all in one place?
It's going to take another 4 years easily, because it's the first one took the longest because of just getting a lot of logistics organized in my studio and equipment and things like that. And right now, of course, a lot depends on fundraising, but I mean, the bottom line is I'm hoping that another 4 years, all of the rest of them will be in the building.
Now, Charles, you were telling me the first one was completed last year about Veterans Day, and it was on display in Duluth. And where is it now?
It's back in the committal hall. So we took it to Duluth for about a week, where it was laser scanned for an archival print, and then it was taken over to the depot, where it was on display for 4 days and brought back to Little Falls, and now hangs in the cemetery.
And you're working on, and that was Army?
Yes, that was the Army.
And you're working on the Navy now?
That's correct.
And when do you think the next one will be done?
I'm hoping by middle of the spring. So when you come up there for Memorial Day Sunday service, the Navy painting will be hanging in addition to the Army painting.
Okay, and then this is going to take a few more years to finish this, but it sounds like a pretty exciting project.
Absolutely.
Charles, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to just touch on each of the paintings and have you describe them to us.
Sure.
So that the listeners get an idea of what to expect. Sounds pretty exciting to me.
Thank you.
We're speaking with Charles Kapsner from the Veterans Arts Project on Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting today with Charles Kapsner, the artist on the Veterans Art Project at the Veterans Cemetery, Minnesota Veterans Cemetery in Little Falls. Charles, before we forget, there must be a website where people can go to learn more information about what you're doing.
That's correct. It is bonefresco.com. That's spelled BUONFRESCO.com. Or you can just Google Charles G. Kapsner, KAPSNER, and my website will come up. Homepage does.
And this Veterans Arts Project, how is it supported financially?
Well, there's a lot of different ways. I mean, individuals who wish to contribute at varied levels can do so. 2 years ago, the then state commander of the VFW, Don Dahlman, took it on as his statewide fundraising project, so we've been able to get the message out that way. And different businesses and corporations have also been participating. And so for varied levels of 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, and 20,000, there will be an 8-by-10-foot granite wall in one of the, it'd be the entryway to the cemetery, the building itself. And you can have a name of your business or a loved one, and like, for instance, their branch of service and rank, and a lot of different ways, but the best thing is just to contact the Initiative Foundation in Little Falls, and they will get you the information.
Okay, and then and we'll give the website again a little bit later in the show, but you're actually in the process of producing. You've already produced one, 5 8-foot by 10-foot paintings. Can you walk us through the themes of those paintings once for us?
Okay, very quickly, the Army was the first one that was done and in the building, and it kind of serpentines through American history going back to 1775 and picking out some of the major events that occurred as far as the conflicts that had a big impact on the changing of military history, or I should say American history. And I tried to tie Minnesota in as much as possible in them, and you'll see sort of a parade of uniforms in the Army painting taking us from 1775 to the present time, knowing that there were a lot of different uniforms even in between some of these. With the Navy, what you will see on my website has gone through some major changes, because as I began the research on that and brought models into my studio, I made the poses much more interactive with each other. So they swing on the bottom much more like an anchor. So for me, it's a lot more exciting of a composition, and a few things in the background have been taken out and added. And then next I'll move on to the Coast Guard, because it is a bit of an aquatic theme-based branch also. And so they're there to protect and serve our waterways, the Great Lakes, the rivers, the coastline, etc. And they are here to save lives. So their theme is, if called, we go out, we may not come back in. And so there'll be a lot of just interesting little story and sidebars with that. When we move on to the Marine Corps, we'll see a bit of action in that, because they're usually the first to go in. And so we will hearken back to some of their early days, and then we move on from there to the Air Force.
You're saved the best for last.
Oh, my gosh, here we are. We're getting a little bit of that razz earlier today. you were, not me, but Air Force, I think, is going to be technologically the most difficult one to do, because there's a lot of new advancements that have happened within that branch, and I can never lose sight of the fact that this is a tribute about the men and women of the military and their service. So that's going to be the tricky one for me to do.
We have to keep in mind that this is part of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery.
Correct.
In Little Falls, and a salute to all of the branches and services, even though there's a lot of folks from the other services that like to give me trouble about the Air Force, but that's okay. I expect that to be your best painting, by the way.
Well, thank you. You'll have to be up there to check it out then.
I absolutely will go up and check it out. Now, what are the next steps, and how much longer, once again, is this going to take?
Well, like I say, I'm looking at it about, 4 more years on the project. And in between, I do sneak in a couple other odds and ends just to keep myself going. But it, again, will just entail a lot more research. I'm hoping to start the Navy canvas within the next couple of months and have that completed, as I mentioned earlier, by spring. And then after that, begin the research on the Coast Guard. And it just kind of moves on and on and on. And I travel around to do little presentations or interviews like we do today to get the message out.
It's too bad our listeners can't see you. You're smiling and your eyes are twinkling. You're really into this project, aren't you?
It's a great one, because after all the years of what I've done in varied realms of my profession, I'm having a chance to work with the portrait, with the figure, with interesting compositions and stories, still life's uniforms. So it's kind of taken everything I've worked on in one way or another throughout my career and just put it all into one package deal, so to speak. And history and research is something that I've always loved to do, so getting your teeth into something that's as in-depth as this is right now is fantastic.
And you got to spend a little time with the commissioner too, didn't you?
Absolutely. I visited with General Shelton this morning for about an hour or so before I came over here, and we had a great visit.
He's a big supporter, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Well, once again, if our listeners want to see and learn some more about the Veterans Art Project, the website?
www.bonfresco.com or Charles G. Kapsner. Google my name and you'll get to the site.
And what all can they find on the site?
Well, in addition to the history of the project itself, there's a lot of other information on my background, so you can really see the technical abilities I have as a painter and draftsman. And I would encourage you to visit all of my site to really understand why this will be as important, as intense as it will be work-wise.
And the website is bonafresco.com, BUONFRESCO.com. And we'll have a link to that website on our Facebook site from Minnesota Military Radio. Just got about 30 seconds left. Charles, any final thoughts about the Veterans Art Project?
Well, I think I would just like to say that I had an opportunity to speak in front of the National VFW Convention, annual convention, 2 weeks ago in Reno, and that really gave me a very expanded audience from the standpoint of, I can truly say that now someone in every state in the union knows what we're up to here in Minnesota, especially in Little Falls. And even though it's in the center of the state, it certainly is a place for many people to come and visit, because you can just go on to the lake region north after that. So we'll try and promote all ends of the state of Minnesota with the project. But it's just put me in touch with a lot of neat and interesting people that I guess in my life I never would have thought I would have come in contact with, because it took a project like this to get me to that point.
Charles, has been nice to meet you, and thanks for visiting with us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much.
This is Charles Kapsner with the Veterans Arts Project on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining us now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Doug Bly. Doug, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. Good morning.
What are you and your Patriot Guard riders up to this month?
You know, I think this month, actually last week, was a very significant anniversary. I think, you know, for our country and for the United States Navy, the Navy SEALs, and Minnesota Patriot Guard. It was a one-year anniversary of the loss of 31 Navy SEALs in Afghanistan, and particularly SEALs Foss and SEALs Spehart from Minnesota. And, you know, I think a lot of us go back and remember it's our core mission. And, you know, the level of effort the ride captains put in, and, man, we had our members were everywhere. We asked them to be at a moment's notice because, especially with Special Forces, very little information comes out early as to what's going on. And I'm just so proud of the members and so proud of Minnesota with how they react to those two funerals and meeting Rear Admiral Pybus and having him come in. And, you know, I always tell this story. I stood close enough to one of the internment shelters at Fort Snelling National Cemetery, and I heard them slapping those sealed tridents on that casket lid, Tom, and it's a sound I'll never forget.
That'll haunt you the rest of your days, Doug. And who couldn't forget lost 30 troops in one day?
Yeah, exactly. It was a tough day for America, and it's not just losing 31. It was 31 of our best and brightest, and we will never forget.
And it's a wonderful service that the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders provide, honoring those troops that we've lost.
It is, and we've actually, you know, particularly with the one-year anniversary coming up, Tom, it's an opportunity to talk about a partner organization to the Patriot Guard. It's a separate group, but they believe very much in the same thing. It's called Tribute to the Troops, and their primary mission is they go 1 year after the funerals to visit the families. And let them know that it may have been a year, and we know you hurt, we haven't forgotten. And they can actually look an awful lot like the Patriot Guard, Tom, there are motorcycles as well, but a very different group, but very dear friends, and we believe in the same cause. And they do an annual ride every year right around the weekend closest to 9/11. So September 7th and 8th, they will ride throughout the state of Minnesota and western Wisconsin visiting families. And September 9th, they ride up to Camp Ripley, and then they have a big dinner at night for all the Gold Star families in Minnesota. And they're website is www.tributetothetroops.org, and click on the Minnesota chapter, and all of our friends out here in Minnesota Military Radio can register and be with them.
Doug, just a few seconds left. Who's eligible to join the Minnesota Patriot Guard?
You just have to be a citizen with a 3x5 flag. Don't have to be a veteran, no motorcycle. www.mmpatriotguard.org. One word, click join us on the left, and all about honor, dignity, and respect, my friend.
Doing a great job, Doug, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
This is Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Before we go, there are a few upcoming events we'd like to mention. First, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation will be holding its annual golf tournament fundraiser this Tuesday at Tartan Park. We will be recording next week's show there live. Also, this Friday is the early bird deadline for this year's Joint Retiree Appreciation Day. For details on these events and more, please visit us on Facebook or at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to discuss, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Rear Admiral K.J. Norton, Charles Kapsner, Doug Bly, Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.